This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Waddle and Sylvie with so much to talk about. I was just playing a game of ping pong with my brain, or in my brain, where I was like, okay, we start with this, we start with that. There's
usually a gerbil just running on a treadmill, isn't it? Or one of those wheels.
You don't make any gerbil references here.
Why? A gopher? I mean, what is it? Hamster, okay. Yeah, what's the difference in gerbil or a hamster?
Rodents. Rodents in general, not a rodent.
Which one eats their young? Don't one of these little rodents eat their young?
Lions eat their young.
Do they really eat their young?
Yeah. I think so. I think animal facts. I know we have a listener out there, maybe a Twitcher, who knows whether or not these little rodents eat their young. Someone will know. A gerbil or a hamster?
I wish
the rat would.
I've never been a fan of. I will not allow my children to get a pet. Gerbil or hamster. What do they do?
Like, just allow them to call each other blank holes.
Yeah.
Kids can't pick the baseball team to cheer for that they want to in your house. Now they can't have a gerbil.
Yeah. No, they can. Like, we'll get a dog. You know, I don't love cats. I'm open if they become cat kids that they want a cat. But, yeah, I know.
No one wants to be friends with the cat.
I'm with you on that. I'm a dog guy. But I've said that I am not getting a pet until I house train my own kids.
That's fair.
And then Abdallah just made the reference that this morning, you know, it's just hell trying to get the kids ready for school, or in this case, camp. Today was the second day of camp, and we're trying to get them organized. We're trying to get them to eat. And then Braxton's eating something off of Mason's plate. Mason looked at Braxton, and he called him an a-hole. And it was the first time I'd ever heard my seven-year-old use the term.
It must be a word that's used loosely and freely around the Silverman household.
And I said, who taught you that word? Because my wife doubled over, holding her stomach, laughing hysterically. She doubled over in laughter. And I looked up at him and I said, who taught you that? And he said, Mommy. Mommy said it yesterday.
Well, I wonder what she says about you to the kids when you're at work.
Mommy said it yesterday about Daddy.
Yeah.
So I used it today about Braxton. I don't know. And so the day got off to a weird start.
So they're not allowed to have hamsters or anything. Do kids have hamsters and gerbils now?
There was always that one kid in your class who was the hamster kid.
So maybe you had to have a trail for the gerbils or the hamsters. Like, there was this, like, the you created your own, like, your own little playground for those
animals.
Yeah, the tubes. Back in the day.
That's a thing, yeah.
I just remembered the wheel and then the drinking fountain that they had with the weird bottle.
That's kind of like a guinea pig. A guinea pig. Right. You had a guinea pig, like a giant guinea pig in a tiny cage.
Right.
Like, that must have been really a whole lot of fun for that guinea pig.
That's what I'm saying.
Can't even turn around in the cage that it's in.
How is that fun for the kid? Just a smelly little rodent in your cage that you really can't train. You can't have fun with it.
It poops all over the carpet.
Right. And every now and then it takes a little drink of the water out of that little thing. Yeah, it's gross.
I'm with you. So I didn't know, though, whether or not. I know the kids had fish. Like, you told us the fish story.
Yeah, there's still one fish that's alive.
We came home with two. That's a bionic fish.
It really is. It's got very little thrill.
It's been fed hand sanitizer.
No, the other one was.
Oh, okay.
The other one was sprayed with deodorizer because the kid who used a-hole today thought it would be good, just because we're in the middle of the pandemic, that we would deodorize and spray stuff down, that we wanted to clean the water.
He's a killer, is what he is. So. I just didn't know whether or not kids had, like, pets like that any longer. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are a thing.
One day we'll go back to being a dog family.
Okay. Don't do the hamster route.
No. Yeah. That's a non-negotiable.
Okay.
Totally non-negotiable. So that was.
I wish all hamsters and gerbils well. I don't wish them any ill will. I'm not a fan of putting them in small cages and looking at them.
And if your kids want to be gerbil kids or hamster kids, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, but not for us.
You're another rat kid?
I was not a rat.
I had a friend, he dated a girl that had rats.
Bull.
No.
Bull.
No. Swear to God.
No, listen.
There's some rules out there.
Wait, time out. You're doubting anything these days?
Yeah. God's honest truth.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Chris knows him. Chris knows him.
Real rat?
Yeah. Real rats. Yeah, you know the guy.
What about the girl?
You don't know the girl.
Was she goth?
Yeah.
How about like an albino rat?
Like the albino rat, the very rare thing. She kept them in a cage in her living room.
Pink eyes.
Yep.
She shops at Gadzooks.
Yep. Oh, 100%.
What do you get at Gadzooks?
You can get punk things, band t-shirts, spiky bracelets.
Wrist fingers in your nose,
various novelty cards and sex toys. I worked there for a little bit.
Yeah. Spencer Gifts.
Yeah. And Gadzooks doesn't have the novelty stuff, but yeah.
Yeah.
But they do have the sex toys.
I also worked at Gadzooks.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You worked everywhere.
I worked all over Hawthorne Mall. Well, when you work at Dairy Queen in a seasonal, it's a seasonal job.
You need something else.
So I need something for the winter.
My brother, you are getting nothing but respect from me. To be an employed person at an early age, you get nothing but respect from me. I was out mowing lawns in every, you know, commercial real estate, whatever you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Industrial parks, that was me. I was on my back painting. What was it?
And like, that's why you were a professional athlete
walls.
And I went to art school.
Lead paint on cinder blocks. It was awful.
I worked at the mall.
No, that didn't make me a good athlete. It actually probably infected me with something that is still troubling me today.
I told you the story. My mom, what she would do is she made me at 14 get my worker's permit.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to work back in the day until you were 16.
You were the modern child Al Bundy. You were in the shoe department at a very early age.
Well, that was later. I mean, my first job was washing towels at a fitness center. You talk about real crappy work, walking around with naked guys, just walking around, and you know the
Sounds like your high school.
Right, yeah, and you know how I feel about that. It was odd to begin with, but grown men, older men, this was an older men fitness club too, who walk around very confidently, it's just completely gross, doing lunges, doing the stretchy.
And a lot of them not as fit as the fitness.
Oh, yeah, for sure. None of them were.
Right.
You know, and they're shaving over, you know, they're shaving over the sink with nothing on, not even a towel wrapped around. And you got to go and you got to tidy up. You got to wash the counters down.
Of course, because the guy's marbles, they were just resting on the counter.
Not on the counter, on the floor.
Right. Well,
that's the type of fitness center it was. But my mom would make me go. I would have to get a worker's permit, and then she would drop me off at a mini mall,
like one of the big mini malls.
And she said to me, she goes, "You go find a job today." And she said, "If they don't have a help wanted sign in their window, you go into the store, you ask for the manager, and you ask them if they're hiring anybody to be a stock boy or anything, and you tell them that you're willing to do anything." That's how I grew up.
Your mom's one of my favorite people.
That's how I, and so I got the first job at a fitness center, picking up towels and washing
rink.
Well, I was at the ice skating rink, Skokie Stadium at the concession stand, still before I was 16, where they told me, "Look, we have some leftover popcorn. You put it in this bag. You bring it out the next day. We'll reheat it under the big sunlight."
Scraping the film off the nacho cheese.
You take the nacho cheese. You don't throw it out at the end of the night. You put a piece of saran wrap over it. You put it in the fridge over there. Then we'll reheat it tomorrow. Then we'll stir it, and it'll be as good as new. Yeah, all that stuff. That's how
we're gonna give some people some dysentery tomorrow is what we're going to do.
Yeah, I was a host at Ed DeBevick's back in the day.
Were you taught to be disrespectful to the patrons?
Yes.
Isn't that what they did? That came like that. That was second nature to you, wasn't it?
Scottie Pippen migraine game. I was working a shift at Ed DeBevick's, and I quit a couple of days later. Couldn't take it.
Is there any better perfect fit than you at Ed DeBevick's as a young teen or a young adult?
Telling
people what you think of them?
I wasn't even a waiter. I was a host.
Yeah.
How many people?
Sit down over there and find a new haircut while you're waiting.
I don't even know how he got here.
I don't either. But then you sold shoes. Then you were modern-day Al Bundy.
Yeah, Herman Sporting Goods to Sport Mart.
He was Al Bundy is who he was.
Yes. That's where I was for the Jordan shocking.
Lebo's shoes? Wasn't it Lebo's that you worked there?
No, I did some promotional work for them. You did?
Yeah, I did.
Are you mixing the two of us up right now?
I thought that you also worked there.
No, I'd never heard of Lebo's.
Yeah.
What is Lebo's? A department store?
No, it was a shoe store in, I think, in Buffalo Grove.
Okay. No. Yeah. I was a Sport Mart in Niles.
Okay.
It was a self-service shoe department where you know, they still do it this way, I think, at Dick's, where you walk in and I think you grab your size. I don't know how Dick's work. But
Their shoes are out.
Crazy.
You would think after working at the gym at a young age, you would.
That's it all. You had some moments on this show in 15 years. That's a top fiver right there. That's a top fiver. Once an hour, as you tell us how
whack that thing.
We can be heard on the FM stick. You also got to play that for
Big Nick.
Yeah. Oh boy.
How about Javi not running there or not handling the base pass?
I didn't want to go there. Like you guys always say that I'm always like Mr. Professional Radio, and I'm always looking to get the rig back on the road. So I went with it. Continued the conversation. Now, next thing I'm talking about is
not knowing how to work one of those things.
Yeah. But I was talking about the process in getting shoes at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yes. But yes, at Dick's, Sylvie, you can grab your own.
You grab your own. Like I was there to help. Like, hey, do you have a size 9? Yeah, check behind here. We've got shoes behind the front display ones. There are shoes behind the first box of shoes. Check there.
Yes, sir. Grab your own.
You thought you were working in the shoe department at Ed DeBevin, so you were just talking to them.
I'm just trying to make ends meet here before college, okay?
I thought that's great.
That's all I'm trying
Barn
to do.
Barn taught you a tremendous lesson.
Yes, my parents. You go out and you get yourself a job. I tried to. I've told you the caddy story on Crosstalk Unhinged. Carmen made, like, I think Carmen sent himself to school. I couldn't take caddying. Like, 1 year, Berger was a star caddy at Westmoreland Country Club, like on the border of Skokie.
Because he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say anything. Yeah, he takes a lot of crap.
Yeah.
And you got to double bag it. You got two big bags on your shoulders.
Crazy.
You got to kiss these people's asses. They hit a bad shot, and you got to know when to be quiet. You got to know when to compliment them. You got to know where the ball is at all time. You can't rub them the wrong way because, God forbid, if you do, they're going to take a few bucks out of your tip.
Got to rub them the right way.
Yes.
Theirs, not yours.
So on a Would You Rather Tuesday, send us your Would You Rather. Hashtag WS Would You Rather. Would you rather carry two bags or stare at old men's?
One was dependent on a tip, right? So you,
I think they both were dependent on a tip.
Sylvie, you always double bagged?
No, I started off as a strong kid.
You were pulling a single.
I would carry the single bag. Yeah. We're talking about caddying now, right? Are you going code here?
Now, I would carry the one, but you had a bag on each shoulder.
You couldn't make money carrying a single golf bag because you would spend 5 hours out on the course and you would only get paid for one. So you got the fee and then you got a tip. And like that, you were cut in half. Another reference. You cut yourself in half if you only single bag.
Listen, I made $7.50 to carry a bag for 5 hours.
Sucked. And then you'd get a tip.
It was awful. No, there was no tips.
You didn't get tipped on the golf course?
At the country club that I worked at, Camargo Country Club in
Cincinnati.
It was
owned by the NCAA.
Probably was. There were no tips. We never got tips. We got paid $7.50 a bag. It was awful.
That is awful. That job was probably, out of all the jobs that I ever did, caddying. Now, other people, the Chick Evans scholars, they put themselves through school with it. Carmen, you know, my buddy Berger, I couldn't do it. I wasn't meant to be a caddy.
The only reason I really caddied was so we could play on Mondays on caddy days.
That's right.
That's really the only reason I stayed with doing it.
All right, if you want to weigh into the conversation, 3123.
How about that Javi Baez?
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. As Abdallah mentioned, last week, remember, we were all set to do Would You Rather, but then Matt Nagy broke the news that, hey, Justin Fields cannot win the starting job. So we had full phone lines on that. Today we will do Would You Rather in the 4 o'clock hour. So send them to us via Twitter. Send them to Black and Abdallah and use that hashtag that Abdallah just mentioned, WS Would You Rather. Len Casper on at 5. I think the Sox have to make a deal. They have another injury with Adam Engel again with that tricky hamstring. They continue to be super banged up. Want to get to Javi Baez coming up next. Because this is more than just not knowing the outs. It's more than just not hustling. I believe it's the curious case of Javi Baez and the Cubs team in general. We had a good conversation on the ride in. We'll relay that to you coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
That's a live listen to Jed Hoyer's office trying to figure out what to pay Javi Baez, how long you commit to him. I think it's one of the most interesting, hardest cases to determine. I think that Rizzo's the easiest of the contracts. I think Rizzo, I'm fine as long as it's a short term, paying a premium for him.
How short a term?
3 or 4 years, you know, like that. What we had been talking about, somewhere in the range of 90 to, you know, 110 million.
For 4 years?
Yeah, something like that. 4 or 5 years, something like that. That I don't think he's going to get a ton. I don't think he's going to hamstring you from doing anything in the future. I think Javi and his salary and how much you pay him, like people have been talking about a $200 million commitment. And that, let's keep in mind, too, that also, besides, before we just dive into Javi and what makes him so curious, is the fact that this could be one of the better shortstop crops in a long time.
Correa, Story, the kid
Seager.
From Seager.
Like so if you don't decide to sign Javi, you can easily go out and replace him like that with someone that you may believe in more. You know, so I think with the crop of free agent shortstops, with the other guys you're debating on who to sign. So let's set the table for you. Again, this figures into the equation. I don't know how much it figures in, but this was the story last night, watching the game on Marquee, because God knows they couldn't hit last night.
They haven't been able to hit for a long time.
So this was the fourth inning. There's one out. Rizzo is at the plate. Javi Baez is at first.
In the air, left field. Rosario started back, now in. Oh, boy. And Baez forgot how many outs. And it's a double play. Javi lost track of the outs and ran all the way to third. And it ends up being a double play.
And here is the conundrum. There are so many examples. He's on first because he hit into a fielder's choice, but was busting it down the line, yes, so he didn't get doubled up.
Yes.
So his hustle was what got him to first and limited them in terms of the number of outs that were in the inning at that time, because Chris Bryant was on first. He grounds out, I think it was maybe shortstop, wherever he was, but he's busting it down first base so that maybe it was the third base. He hit it to the third baseman so he doesn't get doubled up.
Right.
So.
And
he
then
was
the
hustling.
Run down against Pittsburgh that we raved about, you know, that we talked about. Was that a good Javi play? Was that a good Contreras play? Was it just bad on Pittsburgh's part? You know, I mentioned in the tease, 2 days ago, he made one of the best plays I've seen a shortstop make. Diving, fully extended to get the ball, then to make the flip.
Which is another discussion point, because only Tatis has more errors at the shortstop position than Javi this year in Major League Baseball. But Javi's got one of the higher defensive wars. He's got maybe the highest range ranking in all of Major League Baseball for shortstops as well. So he's going to boot a play every now and again. He may have an errant throw, but he's going to save runs with his ability to tag, his range, his arm, his ability and his agile, you know, footwork to turn a double play. There are so many positives about him that negate some of the negatives. So, I mean, what happened yesterday, I thought was all the way around. I thought Ross handled it perfectly, didn't make a spectacle of it, decided that Javi made a mistake. We're in a bit of a slump. We can't afford these mental mistakes, and there's going to be a consequence for your action. Maybe it will set the tone for everybody else. He didn't go on some sort of tirade right at the end of the game when he met the media.
Here's what he said.
I like to keep some of those things in-house. I mean, I think it's, you know, we just got to make sure we're focused and locked in during the game. And, you know, sometimes our frustrations can distract us a little bit. And we had a good conversation, and I think that's behind us. You know, Javi's really important to this team. It's not about setting an example for a star player that's a big part of this team. That's not it. It's just, you know, let's get somebody in there that's fresh and let him regroup, and he'll be better for it tomorrow. We'll all be better for it.
I thought that was an excellent piece of managing by David Ross. I do disagree, because he was setting an example, because you make that decision to take him out of the game. So it serves as a reminder to all of the other players. Look, when we're between the lines, you've got to make sure you know how many outs there are. Your focus has got to be what it is. I'm not going to make a huge spectacle out of this. Javi's going to be in the lineup again tomorrow. But there are consequences for not doing your job correctly, much in the way that there are consequences for not doing your job correctly in fields that aren't in the world of sports. So I thought Ross handled it exceptionally well. Thought he was being a manager. And I think I'm less bothered by what I saw last night. I'm not thrilled by it. I'm more bothered by Javi's 226 average and 264 on base percentage, and the trend that seems to be building starting last year, and albeit in a difficult season where COVID had everyone a little bit off kilter. But this is a trend now for Javi, where the batting average is below 260 or below 250, and the on-base percentage, which is never eye-popping for Javi,
right,
is starting to trend significantly lower than even the low levels of where he was over the course of the last 4 years.
Right, right. Like, again, like, you could take the non-hustle plays or not knowing the outs, and you can outweigh it with some of the cool slides, with some of the good base running, you know, and but then here's the question. When you figure all that in, is you look at 264. He's on base 26% of the time. Last year, 238.
Yep.
Like, you're good with Javi in, like, 2016, for instance, he was 314 on base. 2017, 317. 2018, 326. Those aren't great on base numbers, but you can live with that, knowing how dynamic of a player he is, how he can slug, and some of the things that he just brings with the swagger and the energy level. But now, like, how are you taking aside a big bag of money when you have to make other decisions, when you have one of the best shortstop crops in free agency, and how are you plopping it down in Javi's locker when he's only on base 226 after a 203 on base? And this is what I wanted to ask you guys. We were just talking about Ben Simmons, okay? Ben Simmons is an athlete. Ben Simmons is a three-time All-Star. Ben Simmons is a
top 10 defensive player, he's not a, top five defensive players in the league.
Great defensive player. He can set his team up. I think he was number one in the league in assisted three-point shots. But he can't shoot. I was listening again to Abdallah and Black on the way home yesterday. You know, he can do it all, as Black was saying, but he can't shoot. So my point about Javi is, I'm not calling him Ben Simmons, but I'd like an NBA comp to who Javi is, because we sort of rank superstars. Javi Baez is a, what, good offensive player who can't get on base? Isn't that sort of similar to what Ben Simmons is? I mean, Javi Baez is a dynamic offensive player who can't get on base.
He's an inconsistent dynamic offensive player, because that dynamic production isn't there consistently. It comes in bunches.
So how could you plop a big bag?
Use your Ben Simmons analogy, I can't pay Javi Baez the way the Sixers have paid Ben Simmons.
There you go.
I think Javi is a better player than Ben Simmons.
I think he's more well-rounded. He's just not as consistent.
That's for sure.
But he's not good at getting on base, but he does hit home runs. He does produce offensively. So, like, is he Russell Westbrook? Because Russ can't shoot from three. He, you know, the stats are there, but he doesn't necessarily is a winning player. So you could say he's a negative in that aspect.
But, man, he's a career 301 on base when they've never valued being on base more.
See, I don't think this is really hard. I don't. I think that Javi's a guy you want on your team, but you can't pay Javi as one of the top paid players in Major League Baseball because he doesn't fill that role. He does some things that are outstanding. He does some things that make you cringe every now and again. The plate discipline isn't great.
95 strikeouts to 8 walks.
The power is there.
Think about that.
Yeah, I mean, the range is there. He stops runs. He makes errors. Look, I have a place on my team for Javi Baez. He's just not going to be the top, one of the top two paid, highest paid shortstops in the league. He's just not. There is a limit to what I'm willing. The panache, the exciting plays, the power, the extra inning home runs that happen every now and again, the diving plays, those are all things that catch your attention and catch your eye. But you also have to factor in the low on base percentage, the high error rate, and some of the other things, the low batting average over the last couple of years. So there's a price tag for Javi.
And what is that? And that's why, like, as I bring this, it's because I'm confused. I called it the curious case of Javi Baez. I'm completely confused about Javi. I'm completely confused again about this team and what to do. Waddle and I drove down to the city together and we were going again. Like, now I'm kind of leaning towards selling again because, like, this team isn't that good. Now they're not hitting. We know they can't pitch from a starting standpoint. They have a really good bullpen. We all believe they can't win the World Series. And you're going to have all these guys who have astronomical values on the trade market in the bullpen, like Kimbrel, like Chafin, like Tapera, and you may not sell, and you may double down on this team that is hugely flawed.
And if you want to cling to those guys and say they're part of our future, that bullpen, I would just point in the direction of the White Sox. Now, Hendricks is really good. Crochet has done some really nice things. But a lot of the guys that we thought were going to play a role in what was a dynamic, unhittable bullpen last year aren't as dynamic and are hittable this year. That's the nature of bullpen arms.
312-332-3776. Do you agree about Javi? It's a great shortstop crop. He doesn't get on base, and then he has the mental lapses that he had last night. This is a guy who's a career 301 on base. That's terrible. But there are other things that he does that are so dynamic. How the hell do you figure that out? I'm confused over Javi. I don't know what this team is right now. Chris Bryant's in one of the longest slumps of his career after getting off to a hot start. You know, the Cubs are in a really rough stretch. What do you do? Do you buy or sell? I think this team's an enigma. And if you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So we're trying to figure out the Cubs. It seems like I've been more confused about this team than I ever have about a previous Cubs team. Because deep down, I look at the rotation, even when they were going good, when they were 11 over, I think that was their high watermark, 11 or 12, that I looked at their pitching staff, the starters,
and I said, smoking mirrors.
You can't win in the playoffs with just staff like that. Now, if it was fronted by Yu Darvish, and then you went to Hendricks, and then you added somebody good in the trade market, now it's different. But you subtracted from that. You subtracted your best pitcher. You don't have a true ace. Hendricks has been really good lately. He throws tonight. He's, I think, won his last 7. But after that, come on. Like, there's not one guy you can really rely on from start to start.
I would want Javi on my team. If I'm running this team, I want Javi. I can't pay him. He's not getting Lindor money. Okay.
Well, not even close.
Okay.
Like, Lindor got what, 300?
He's getting $32 million a year starting next year for what, 10 years? I think that's what it is. So,
boy, I look at Javi and I'm so damn confused. He's been so bad getting on base the last 2 years.
The trend is not your friend.
No.
So I'm telling you again that there's not a ton of premium in that contract offer, but I want him back. I'm just not going to pay him the way that Machado's been paid, that Tatis has been paid, the way that
you feel
Lindor's
good giving Javi 20.
Lindor was 10 years, 341.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
it's $32 million crazy plus a year, right? Isn't that what it is? It's
His AAV is 22.3.
Like, I mean, do you even feel good about...
That's his current. Because if you're going 10 years and 300...
Oh, right, yeah. He's current, on 1 year, 22.3 yeah. for this season.
And I'm
season,
sure
yeah.
that was either arbitration or they came to an agreement.
And I think there's a lot of deferred money, too, isn't it? Didn't the Mets there defer some?
But it's like, Chris, it's like $32 million a year. You're not giving Javi Baez $32 million
a year. I don't feel good about giving Javi 25 a year. How can I? He's so much fun on some days. But he hasn't been a productive player since 2019.
Well, I mean, defensively, he has been a productive player overall.
Yes, yes. But again, that's so is Ben Simmons. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Ben Simmons is a good...
I said in the last segment, I'm not paying Javi Baez the way that the Sixers paid Ben Simmons.
Right. In like the comp that I used is Ben Simmons is a really good player who can't shoot. Javi Baez is a really good player who can't get on base. Now, Ben Simmons still scores. Ben Simmons, what's his average per game? Like 15 points per
14
game?
14 points.
14 yeah. points per game. You know, what kind of numbers is Baez putting up when it's contract time?
I think you have a better chance of signing Javi to a contract extension that is more team-friendly than, let's just say, Chris Bryant.
I think Rizzo's going to be the easiest to work out.
I did these numbers for you yesterday. This does not include last night's puke fest at the plate. But in the month of June, and this is not a small sample size. What is today? June 22nd?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is without including last night's game because I couldn't do the math. I didn't do the added math. So this was through, you know, before yesterday.
And they sucked again yesterday.
Yeah. Chris Bryant is batting 127 with an on-base percentage of 200 in the month of June.
And by the way, Boog added on the broadcast yesterday, Chris Bryant is 48 straight at-bats without an extra base hit. That is the longest stretch of his career without an extra base hit.
Javi Baez is hitting 115 with an on-base percentage of 164 in the month of June. Contreras is hitting 176. Now, he had a good night last night. I think he had a couple of doubles or a couple of hits. But prior to last night, he was hitting 176 with an on-base percentage of 236 in the month of June. Rizzo was hitting 235 and an on-base percentage of 288. That's the core of your lineup. And when you factor in also that people are now not throwing 95-mile-an-hour straight-line cheese at Patrick Wisdom, they're now working him in a different fashion. He's not hitting a home run every at-bat. In fact, he threw the golden sombrero on you last night. I'm not being hard on him. I'm just saying the regression will eventually take place. Alcantara isn't hitting it off the wall every other at-bat. So when the guys that have stepped in and done remarkable things in a short period of time are regressing back to who they are, and your big guns are pretty much all of them collectively hitting below 200 and getting on base 25% of the time, you couple that with a starting rotation that collectively throws the slowest fastball in Major League Baseball, and it's still shocking to me that this team is 7 games over .500.
Right, and they play in this division where no one's going to run away from it, and that's why it's going to be so confusing. Like, it's been a fun season, but it's confusing. Mike in Evanston, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Yeah, this is a very confusing season, but the Cubs should, like, if you think about it, had the front office not deconstructed this roster by not keeping Darvish and Castellanos. Think about it. They should have probably near the best record in the National League. But
are you playing Pong, Mike?
Sounds like his turn signal.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my turn signal.
Oh, okay. All right, be careful. Be careful out there.
So, you know, it's like they're in this position and it sucks because like Rizzo said, I loved how he called out the front office and said, if the front office wants to sign all three of us, they can. But it's getting to that point where say they're in second place come the All-Star break. I think it's time just to blow it up. I mean, think about what the Cubs can get for Kimbrel. Kimbrel's automatic right now. His ceiling or his value will never get higher.
Ever.
Think about how much they could get back from, like, the Padres, right? Maybe deal Hendricks. Start with those two guys, see what you can get, and then go to Contreras and position players. If they're still hitting awful. Like, Baez, I don't see his on-base percentage getting better in the next 5 years. Think about that.
I'm with you on that, Mike. I'm not trading Hendricks. Hendricks is a solid, you know, arm for you, and he is very cross-controlled.
Yeah, but let's just, come on, think about how much we can get back and just start this thing over. I don't think you're going to sign. I think Rizzo's pissed. And I don't. I still think he's not going to get the money he wants.
I'll bet you, Mike, that Rizzo signs. I'll bet you a pizza bet.
He's in Miami next year.
All right. Well, let's bet. All right. And call me back after the off season, and I will send you pizza. You know.
Okay.
And you send our crew pizza if I win. I believe Rizzo will sign with the Cubs.
I would love it. But I don't know. I think they lowballed him too much. Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. I just think that the value right now, you know, Brian's playing really well. I mean, not recently, but given the last few years, his value's up. And if the Cubs can't afford him, then let's just see what we can get for start Kimbrel. I know Hendricks is all this, whatever. But let's just start over, guys.
All right, Mike.
You know we're big fans of Kyle Hendricks here on this show. I don't think you're getting a King's ransom in return.
Nor do I think you should bottom out. I think you have enough where you can still, you have money. Like, now it's, this is the decision, okay? It's easy to make Ricketts into the bad guy. Easy. Biblical losses. He stopped wanting to pay in the middle of the pandemic was very short-sighted.
But I just read you these guys' stats.
Right. It's easy to make him the scapegoat. But now the question is, do you want to pay Javi Baez if the money's available? Think about that, Cubs fans. If you're Jed Hoyer, this isn't a Ricketts thing anymore. You look at that on base at 260 and followed up last year's, which was even worse. And then you see him not knowing the outs, and you say to yourself, do I really want to commit $150 million to that guy?
This
isn't a Tom Ricketts equation now. This is a general manager equation on what you need to do with your roster.
What I saw last night factors zero into my decision about Javi Baez. Because 99, we all know, 99.8% of the time, Javi Baez is busting his hump more than anybody else on the field. That guy plays 100 miles an hour, except for the few moments where he has the lapses like we saw last night. He's not a guy that we look at. Anybody disagree? That we look at and go, man, he dogs it.
He'll offset it with a dynamic play.
Not even that. I think he plays hard. I think his baseball IQ is off the charts. I think he's a smart player 99% of the time. I think he provides a ton of value to you. I'm just not, because of what you said, because of the low on base, he's a flawed player. He's got so many good qualities, but he's a flawed player.
He has 100 strikeouts, and it's not even the halfway point.
He's going to hit you 35 to 40 home runs, and he's going to be on base 28% of the time. Now, you put that into your baseball calculator, you tell me what it's worth, and then you pay him that.
All right.
Or you decide to let him go to somebody else that's going to pay him significantly higher, that's willing to overlook some of the warts.
All right, if you want to weigh in on the Cubs and the confusion and Javi and what you're willing to give them, 332-3776. The White Sox suffered another injury, and I think Rick Hahn is going to be forced into doing something that he may not want to do. Give you details on that next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Made a couple of plays on DraftKings supporting our two starting pitchers. So I went over 7.5 strikeouts for Giolito. That was the underdog, actually. And I know it's asking a lot, but it's the Pirates. Giolito's pitching at night two when he's better. So I went over there, and I went over on Hendricks in his 4.5 strikeouts. That's a low total. He's been good lately, so I'm gonna back Kyle Hendricks tonight.
I know this isn't his first rodeo, but there are moments where I sit on my couch and just say, "How the f does he get out of it?
Yeah.
You know, how does he do it?
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that Rick Hahn is going to have to make a move. I think no general manager would love to make a move on June 22nd. and that the market doesn't start materializing till July. Like Jed said on the show Thursday, that they jumped to the market in the beginning of July, and we're talking about June right now in some previous deals. Like they would jump the market like on June 11th. Like we're still a while away from June 11th. But like how
July
many,
11th?
July 11th, yeah. I mean. How many more injuries can the White Sox endure, both to infielders and outfielders? The latest news is Adam Engel's back on the DL. He tweaked the hamstring again, and that kept him out for way longer than we thought originally. And now he's out again. Eaton is out. Robert, your entire outfield is out.
See, and it put,
and then Madrigal as well.
It puts so much pressure on your big bats, like Abreu and Tim Anderson and Moncada.
Right.
They all have to play at such a high level to make, you know, to make up for what they're they've lost because of the guys you mentioned are injured. And they've done a brilliant job supplementing with the Goodwins and the Mercedes and some of the other players, and even Vaughn at this stage of his career, which I think we're all very high on what his future looks like. But when the regression occurs for the guys I mentioned, like Mercedes, and Goodwin's not going to be somebody that gets you five RBIs a night, and Billy Hamilton isn't going to be an extra base hit machine the way he was for a period of time before he went on the injured list.
Well, like, look at it. Even if Adam Eaton is healthy, Adam Eaton has been bad. You chose right. to bring back Adam Eaton and Wright. So, like, even if Adam Eaton wasn't hurt, would you really? I still think you're looking for a right fielder. Now, Jesse's pointed out that you're looking for left-handed power, whether that's Kyle Schwarber. Adam Frazier, they're going to get a look at tonight in Pittsburgh. It's a good question for Len Casper. He is a guy who's an high on-base percentage guy. He puts the ball in play, a lot like Madrigal. He's a second baseman. You could plug him at second. He's also versatile where he can play you some outfield. So, I don't think – I always remember this. Rick Hahn was either on with us or Cap. I forget where the bite came from. But he said after he put this team together, the question was asked, what keeps you up at night? And he responded, depth and injuries. Do we have enough depth? Are we going to be healthy enough? Good fortune always goes into – we always talk about this. Good fortune goes into these championship seasons.
Yes.
And this team has done an amazing job of keeping the rig on the road through all the injury, through all the injuries. And look, they could bounce back in Pittsburgh, and they could up their lead again to three and a half games. But still, I believe they have to be more proactive now because of the amount of injuries.
I agree with you. Speaking of Sox injuries, the update's brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Rush has been providing excellent care to patients throughout the pandemic. No need to delay health visits. They offer care in safe environments or virtually. Learn more at rush.edu. I agree with you 100%. Look, again, some of those holes were filled by guys who stepped in and performed at a level that nobody expected them to perform at. Mercedes. Again, Billy Hamilton. I think some people would also tell you that Danny Mendick is probably playing above where his
Jake Lamb.
Yes, his level will be over the course of his career. And when those guys regress back to the norm, to normally who they are, that's when those holes become deeper and more apparent. And that, again, puts so much more pressure on Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson
and the Moncada pitching. And the pitching.
Because, like, look, this pitching staff has been nearly perfect. There are going to be some bumps along the way.
Well, like with Lance Lynn last time.
Sure.
Like, he can't be great every time out, but then you don't have the hitting to compensate right now. At least right now. But they still could be good enough to win the division, and you may not have to panic.
Yes.
I still think eventually they're going to have to trade for a couple position players.
I'm with you 100%. Look, I still have really high expectations for them. I really do. And the hope is that Aloy comes back sooner rather than later, and that trend continues to go down the right road. Obviously, you're not going to get Madrigal back this year. You don't know what you're going to get from Robert. But between now and hopefully getting Aloy back, you're still going to need a little extra punch in your lineup.
Trilogy773 tweets me, and he said, look at Silvy turning his back on Javi Baez. And I, you know, again, Javi Baez created the expectations in prior years. Javi Baez was an MVP candidate back in the day. Javi Baez was the NLCS co-MVP in 2016. When Javi Baez then goes back-to-back years of a 220 on-base percentage and this year of 260, shouldn't fans say, why isn't Javi Baez as good as he was? And when there's a contract, am I supposed to just be like, okay, cool, Javi, you could suck. Here's $200 million. Look, I don't understand. These are guys who create expectations. When stars don't play like stars, when a star quarterback doesn't play like a star quarterback, he's going to get questioned. Aaron Rodgers got questioned in Green Bay for a year when he had like 28 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
Look inside.
Because they weren't astronomical numbers.
You don't have to leave the Cubs clubhouse. Look at Chris Bryant.
Last year, a lot of people, Sylvie, you're turning your back on Chris Bryant. Now, I just expect Chris Bryant to be better than he was last year. And for much of this year, he has been. Now he's in another slump. I have expectations for guys. Why is that wrong?
It's not wrong. And now these guys are on the cusp of free agency. So now you have a very difficult decision to make with regard to whether or not you want to continue the relationship. And if you do, at what price?
All right. So if you want to weigh in on Cubs or Sox, 332-3776. And shame on me. We have not gotten the ping pong balls out in time. We will get the ping pong balls out in time. Will the Bulls win the lottery? We play lottery in 2 short minutes.